Today is Monday the 4th of May and you are listening to the World Socialist website. The 2026 International May Day online rally and the tasks of the international working class. WSWS Editorial Board, May the 3rd, 2026. The 2026 International May Day online rally, held on May the 1st by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the World Socialist Website, the International Youth and Students for Social Equality, the IYWSE, and the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, the IWA-RFC, was a milestone in the development of an international socialist and revolutionary movement against imperialist war and capitalism. A total of 18 reports were delivered by speakers from 14 countries on 5 continents. The broadcast was subtitled in 11 languages: English, French, German, Italian, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, Sinhala, Spanish, Tamil, and Turkish, making it accessible to broad layers of the international working class. 5 montages drawing on more than 30 interviews on every continent were interspersed throughout the programme, integrating the analysis of the ICFI with the testimony of workers and youth entering into political struggle. The rally was entirely unique in the political analysis and orientation it advanced. This is not a subjective claim. There exists today no other political tendency anywhere in the world that addresses a global crisis as the eruption of the historic and insoluble contradictions of the capitalist system, or that identifies the international working class as the revolutionary force capable of resolving that crisis. The language of Marxism is spoken nowhere else. The rally addressed as a unified whole all the decisive questions confronting the international working class. In doing so, it underscored a central political fact. The ICFI stands alone today in advancing a Marxist, Trotskyist program based on the perspective of World Socialist Revolution. The WSWS will be publishing each of the speeches in the coming days, and we urge our readers to study them and share them as widely as possible. The political framework of the rally as a whole was set out in the opening report delivered by WSWS International Editorial Board Chairman David North. Quote, "The celebration of May Day," North insisted, "must not be limited to the declarations of international solidarity. It must also be the occasion for an objective analysis of the present world situation, for it is on the basis of such an analysis that the strategy of the working class is formulated." End of quote. The rally in its entirety supplied the analysis centred on the US-Israeli war against Iran and its historical significance and global impact. As North explained, this war marks the culmination of a distinct 35-year period of history that began with the dissolution of the USSR in 1991. It cannot be understood as a discrete episode, nor as the policy of a particular president, nor merely as a product of the Israel lobby, but as a qualitatively new stage in the rampage of capitalist barbarism against the working class. North stressed, quote, "World war is not a future threat, but a present unfolding reality," end of quote. American imperialism's war against Iran is a product of the deepening crisis of world capitalism and the relentless deterioration of the economic position of the United States within the global system. The successive wars of the past decades, from Iraq and Afghanistan to Libya and Syria, from the NATO war against Russia to the genocide in Gaza, have been interconnected stages of a single trajectory. The effort to enforce the imperialist redivision of the world in the interest of finance capital. The war abroad is inseparable from the war against the working class in every country. The dismantling of social reforms, the redistribution of wealth upward, and the turn by ruling elites towards authoritarian rule and fascistic methods to suppress resistance, as North explained, quote, "The breakdown of democratic forms in the United States, the turn to open gangsterism in politics, the subordination of all social life to the interests of the oligarchy, and the drive to redivide the world through military violence express the crisis of the entire capitalist order in its most concentrated and explosive form." End of quote. The most far-reaching consequence of this crisis is the response of the international working class. The rally identified 2026 as a fundamental turning point in modern history, as North explained, quote, "What can be stated with certainty is that the period of relative social equilibrium has ended. The objective conditions identified at the start of the decade, the breakdown of the post-war capitalist order, the impossibility of continuing the old methods of rule, the necessity of either revolutionary transformation or descent into barbarism, have not only been confirmed but have intensified. The first months of 2026 mark the point at which the resistance of the working class has emerged as a global force, contending against the offensive of the oligarchy on a scale that places the fundamental questions of the epoch, war or peace, dictatorship or democracy, socialism or barbarism, directly on the historical agenda. This is the defining reality of the present period. The rally advanced a theory of revolution rooted in the upsurge of struggles of the international working class. Numbering in the billions, bound together by the processes of global production, this class is now compelled to recognize itself as a single objective social force." North then turned in his report to the question of revolutionary leadership, noting the gap between the objective situation and the political preparedness of the working class. Quote, "We acknowledge that the sections of the International Committee are not yet mass parties, but this is not a fault, but the expression of a long period of political reaction during which the old social democratic, Stalinist, labour and trade union bureaucracies were able to suppress the class struggle. But as Trotsky stated, quote, the laws of history are more powerful than the bureaucratic apparatus. The intensification of capitalist crisis is radicalizing the masses, and this will create the conditions for an immense growth of the Trotskyist movement." End of quote. North concluded by stressing, "The question now posed is not whether to fight or how to fight and under what banner. Our answer to these questions is this. The road forward is the conscious and organized struggle of the international working class for power. The banner is that of the Fourth International. We say, build sections of the International Committee of the Fourth International in every country. Take up the fight for socialism. Forward to the World Socialist Revolution." The reports that followed concretized this analysis through a precise national and regional overview of the world crisis. Joseph Kissior, the National Secretary of the Socialist Equality Party, US, characterized the Trump administration as, quote, "a government of the oligarchy, the product of unprecedented levels of social inequality that are not comparable with democratic forms of rule," end of quote. Christopher van der Rier, National Secretary of the Socialiste Gleichheitspartei, Germany, speaking outside the Bundestag in Berlin, bluntly stated that, quote, "Germany has long been at war with Russia again." Documenting Chancellor Friedrich Merz's announcement of the largest German rearmament since Hitler. Tomás Castaneira, leader of the Socialist Equality Group in Brazil, analyzed the imperialist offensive in Latin America, the kidnapping of President Maduro, the ultimatum issued to Cuba, and the murder of more than 180 fishermen by US drone strikes, exposing the bankruptcy of every form of bourgeois nationalism in the face of imperialist eruption. Ulas Sevink, chairman of the newly founded Turkish section of the ICFI, reported on the resurgence of the class struggle in Turkey, documenting the extraordinary 190-kilometre march of the Doruk mining workers and the Ergodan regime's arrest of their leaders. Dipal Jayasekara and Dilakshan Mahalingraman delivered a joint speech in Sinhala and Tamil, a deliberate rebuke of the ethnic divisions on which the Sinhala ruling class has preyed for nearly eight decades, exposing the JVP-NPP government's collaboration with the US-Israeli war and the assault on the working class across South Asia. Reports from Thomas Scripps, UK, Alex Lantier, France, Cheryl Crisp, Australia, Tom Peters, New Zealand, and Keith Jones, Canada, documented the complicity of each national ruling class in the Iran war and the drive towards austerity, rearmament, and authoritarianism, including Lantier's exposure of the Macron administration's direct military complicity in the Iran war and the deaths of more than 35,000 refugees in the Mediterranean since 2014. And Jones' reference to the Carney government's determination to be, quote, predator, not prey, in the imperialist redivision of the world. Speakers in every section drove home the essential political conclusion about the pseudo-left formations, from the Democratic Socialist of America in the US to the FSP in Sri Lanka, sheltering behind studied non-alignment, to Mélenchon's New Popular Front in France, to the cynical rebranding of the NDP under R.V. Lewis in Canada. However varied their national costumes, they perform the same essential service as agencies of imperialism within the workers' movement. A central theme of the rally was the defence of Comrade Bogdan Syrokchuk, the 26-year-old leader of the Young Guard of Bolshevik Leninists, imprisoned by the Ukrainian state for 2 years on, quote, high treason charges, carrying 15 years to life. The alleged evidence, comprising 9 volumes of WSWS articles, ICFI May Day speeches, and an essay by Trotsky. The reports of Tamino Driazam, IYSSE Germany, and Andrei Ritsky, YGBL, focused on the imperialist offensive against the socialist opposition that Bogdan's persecution embodies, while David North, Will Lehman, Ules Atetsky, and other speakers raised the demand for Bogdan's immediate release, along with those of other political prisoners. Will Lehman, candidate for UAW president, addressed himself directly to the international working class, quote, "We workers of the world are already united by the global forces of production. What we have to do right now, starting today, is unite as a conscious fighting force. The answer," he insisted, "is rank-and-file rebellion. Workers rebuilding our own organizations, independent of union officials who serve management and the government." End of quote. Martez Crutchfield, a fifth-generation Ford Rouge worker running for delegate to the upcoming UAW Constitutional Convention alongside Lehman on the, quote, urgent slate, developed the call to build rank-and-file committees in every workplace. In his report, SEPUS National Committee member Evan Blake addressed the role of AI and announced a substantial development of socialism AI. Blake explained, "In launching socialism AI for the first time in the history of the socialist movement, we placed in the hands of workers and youth a tool capable of making the entire heritage of Marxism, the works of Marx, Engels, Lenin, Trotsky, Luxemburg and Plekhanov, and nearly 3 decades of daily analysis on the World Socialist website, accessible in real time, in dialogue, and in any language at any hour." Blake announced that based on the feedback of users in over 100 countries, the architecture has been substantially improved, and Socialism AI is now qualitatively more powerful in answering political, theoretical, and historical questions. The significance of this development cannot be overstated. The objective conditions for socialist revolution are maturing globally, but the most decisive obstacle remains the gap between those conditions and the political consciousness of the working class, a gap forged over decades by the betrayals of the Stalinist, social democratic and trade union bureaucracies, and reinforced by the censorship and falsification of the bourgeois media. Socialism AI is the most powerful instrument the Trotskyist movement has ever developed for the systematic political education of the international working class. Its further development alongside the daily expansion of the WSWS is among the central tasks of the period ahead. The rally's analysis has not had to wait long for confirmation. The war against Iran is profoundly destabilizing the world economy, driving up energy and food prices, disrupting supply chains, and deepening the social crisis in every country. The day after the rally, Spirit Airlines ceased operations and began eliminating 17,000 jobs, the first liquidation of a major American airline in 25 years. A direct casualty of jet fuel prices driven sky high by the Iran war. The same day as the rally, Trump framed his, quote, options in the grotesque language of the mafia. "Go and just blast the hell out of them and finish them forever, or make a deal," before adding, "Frankly, maybe we're better off not making a deal at all," end of quote. The administration is a regime in deep crisis. Trump believes that he can resolve the contradictions of American imperialism through homicidal violence and threats. This will fail. Reports of significant retaliatory strikes from Iran on U.S. military assets across the region have intensified conflicts within the state apparatus over how to proceed after a war that has not achieved its aims. The study of this rally, of its analysis and its program is not a matter of intellectual interest. It is a study of the interaction between the development of Marxist theory and the actual development of the objective crisis. The war, the upsurge of the class struggle, the breakdown of bourgeois political forms, and the maturation of the conditions for socialist revolution. Outside the ICFI, there is no comparable analysis, no revolutionary perspective, and no Marxist assessment of the unfolding crisis. The rally itself must be understood as an expression of the emergence of the international working class as an independent social force, and of the conscious effort to arm that force with a program, a strategy, and a leadership. This is not a matter of self-congratulation. It points to urgent tasks. There remains a major gap between the advanced stage of the world crisis and the political preparedness of the working class. The decisive question is whether the political consciousness, organization, and leadership required to transform the eruption of class struggle into conscious revolutionary movement can be developed at the pace demanded by events. The task posed by history is the building of revolutionary leadership. The ICFI is fighting to meet this responsibility, to build the Fourth International as the world party of socialist revolution. Everyone who watched the May Day rally should take immediate steps to widen its impact, share the video and the written reports as they are published, circulate them to co-workers, classmates, friends and family, and post the rally on social media. Use the rally as a starting point for meetings and political discussion in workplaces, schools and neighbourhoods. Above all, draw the necessary political conclusions and take the next step. Join the Socialist Equality Party and the International Youth and Students for Social Equality and contact us to speak with a party member about how to become involved in building a revolutionary movement of the working class against war, dictatorship and capitalism. Spirit Airlines collapses. 17,000 workers pay for Wall Street's war on Iran. Tom Hall, May 3, 2026. Have you been impacted by Spirit's bankruptcy? Contact the WSWS below to tell us your story. All submissions will be kept anonymous. Spirit Airlines, the largest ultra-low-cost carrier in the United States, announced Saturday that it has permanently ceased operations after 34 years in business. Some 17,000 workers learned overnight that they had lost their jobs. Tens of thousands of passengers and crew members were left stranded at airports across the country with no rebooking assistance. Scenes of confusion spread across Spirit's network. In Atlanta, families arrived at the gate to find no staff and no aircraft. In Las Vegas and Fort Lauderdale, where Spirit has its largest footprint, ticketing counters stood empty. Flight attendant Freddie Peterson learned of the shutdown at 3 a.m. and had to catch a Delta flight back to his home base in Atlanta. Quote, "I'll probably do my boo-hoo crying once I get in the car," he told PBS. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's answer to those stranded was terse. Quote, "If you have a flight scheduled with Spirit Airlines, don't show up at the airport. There will be no one here to assist you." End of quote. The immediate cause of Spirit's liquidation is a massive surge in jet fuel prices triggered by the US-Israeli war on Iran and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Since the war began in late February, jet fuel prices have more than doubled, from roughly $2.10 per gallon to over $4 per gallon in the United States, and from 68 euros to 153 per barrel in Europe. Spirit, carrying $8.1 billion in debt from its second Chapter 11 filing in August 2025 and operating on the thinnest margins in the industry, had no hedging on fuel costs whatsoever, had no buffer to handle this shock. On April the 16th, International Energy Agency, IEA, Executive Director Fatih Birol warned that Europe had, quote, maybe 6 weeks or so of jet fuel remaining. That deadline is now imminent. Europe consumes 1.6 million barrels of jet fuel per day, of which 500,000 barrels previously came through the Hormuz corridor. South Korea, the world's leading jet fuel exporter, has begun restricting its own exports as its Gulf crude supply dries up. The impact across the industry is staggering. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby has warned that his carrier's annual fuel bill could swell by $11 billion if current prices persist. The US airline sector as a whole faces an estimated $25 billion in unbudgeted costs this year. In Europe, Lufthansa has cut 20,000 short-haul flights over the next 6 months. Air France KLM has imposed a 100 euro surcharge on long-haul tickets. Scandinavian Airlines has cancelled 1,000 flights. The Trump administration briefly considered a government rescuer spirit, but by Friday night, the deal was dead. Duffy's explanation to the press was, quote, "We oftentimes don't have $500 million lying around," end of quote. For a government requesting $200 billion for the war in Iran and an extra $500 billion for next year's military budget, this is obscene. The war burned through $11 billion in its first week alone. The Center for Strategic and International Studies estimates U.S. aircraft losses in the war at up to $2.8 billion. The decision not to rescue Spirit was deliberate class policy aimed at making the working class pay for the war. It follows the logic which Trump explained at a closed Easter lunch at the White House when he said childcare, Medicaid, Medicare and other social programs should be gutted because, quote, "we're fighting wars," and that the government's role was, quote, "one thing, military protection," end of quote. Meanwhile, the war is generating a profit bonanza for the oligarchy, with oil around $100 per barrel. The major oil conglomerates, Aramco, ExxonMobil, Shell, Chevron and others, stand to collect an additional $234 billion in 2026 profits. $30 million every hour, according to one report last month by The Guardian. ExxonMobil alone stands to gain an additional $11 billion, Aramco $25.5 billion. The six largest U.S. banks posted collective first-quarter profits of $47.6 billion, J.P. Morgan up 13%, Goldman Sachs up 19%, Citigroup up 42%, boosted by war-driven market volatility, which they used to fund record share buybacks. The Iran war shock is the trigger, but Spirit's collapse is the outcome of 47 years of bipartisan policy. Indeed, Spirit's ultra-low-cost business model was made possible by the 1978 Airline Deregulation Act, enacted during the Democratic administration of Jimmy Carter. Sponsored in the Senate by Democrat Edward Kennedy and championed by Carter's Civil Aeronautics Board Chairman Alfred Kahn. The Civil Aeronautics Board, which had regulated routes, prices and market entry since 1938, creating the conditions under which airline workers won relatively high wages, relative secure employment and defined benefit pensions, was formally abolished in 1984. In 1981, using blueprints first drawn up under Carter, Republican President Ronald Reagan fired 11,000 striking air traffic controllers from the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization. The refusal of the AFL-CIO union officials to call a general strike in defense of PATCO began a decade of union busting and wage cutting, during which time millions of industrial workers lost their jobs. Mass layoffs and a steady erosion of working conditions, airline service and safety followed with no resistance by unions which claimed to represent machinists, pilots, flight attendants and ground crews. Continental Airlines voided all union contracts in 1983 and operated with strike-breaking replacement workers. Eastern Airlines was liquidated in 1991 after a bitter two-year strike betrayed by the International Association of Machinists, the IAM. Pan Am dissolved the same year, eliminating 26,000 jobs. Following the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, US Airways, United Delta and Northwest used Chapter 11 to tear up labor agreements, destroy defined benefit pensions and slash wages. American Airlines issued layoff notices to 13,000 workers. One result is the industry has consolidated from dozens of competing carriers into four mega airlines, Delta, United, American and Southwest, controlling 80% of domestic traffic. During the initial stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, $25 billion was handed to the airlines through the bipartisan CARES Act bailout, Spirit among them. The carriers then issued 100,000 layoff notices, with Southwest demanding 10% wage cuts. The union bureaucracy, especially the Association of Flight Attendants, the AFA-CWA, openly collaborated with management to lobby Congress for bailout money. Workers have sought repeatedly to fight back, but they are under the discipline of the Railway Labour Act, which enforces years of mandatory rounds of mediation before workers are allowed to strike. The law was used in 2022 by Congress to impose a contract on railroad workers who had voted to strike. But the main obstacle has been the union bureaucracy, which works hand in glove with management. During Spirit's first bankruptcy in November 2024, AFA-CWA President Sarah Nelson, a prominent figure in the Democratic Socialists of America, told workers to report normally and pledged to work towards, quote, as little disruption as possible. Nelson had also backed an earlier Spirit-JetBlue merger, which was rejected by antitrust regulators. In opposition to the corporatist labour bureaucrats, workers in the airlines and across the transport sector must build independent rank-and-file committees through the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, free of the union apparatus and both capitalist parties. Spirit's 17,000 workers must receive full compensation, jobs, pay, benefits, pensions and seniority. And the same must apply to every worker thrown out of work by the economic consequences of the Iran war. This must be financed through the immediate expropriation of the windfall war profits of the oil majors, banks and defense contractors, enriched by the Hormuz blockade. The US-Israeli war on Iran must end immediately. The airline industry, which has now demonstrated that private ownership and the profit motive are incompatible with the needs of workers and the traveling public, must be taken out of private hands and converted into a public utility, collectively owned and democratically controlled by the working class. The Railway Labour Act must be abolished and the unconditional right to strike recognised for transport workers. This requires a political mobilisation of the working class, in the airlines, across the transport sector and internationally, against the capitalist system. For these articles and more, go to the World Socialist website, wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Carol Diviak.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.